Matt Pollard is Executive Director of Migration Watch. Good morning to you, Matt.
Good morning.
So this study certainly seems to suggest that it's good news economically, the number of EU migrants we have coming to live in this country. Do you agree that most immigrants to the UK come here to work and pay tax?
Oh, no, absolutely. I mean, the UK economy is booming, and so it's drawing people in that looking to work and looking to make a better life for themselves. That's absolutely understandable. And it's not much point coming here to remain unemployed because, well, why move here to get job seekers allowance? It's not worth it. Most people are coming to work. But what this study has tried to look at, it's tried to look at how much people pay in taxes compared to how much the government spends on them in benefits, but in also other services like hospitals and schools and things. And it's actually an update. I mean, I admire UCL's tenacity. They tried to put out a study last year that claimed a lot of benefits. We picked a lot of holes in, and this is their second stab at it. It's not really about how much each individual pays. It's about, you know, some people pay, you know, make a great contribution. Some people don't make much contribution at all. But in the round, there's very little fiscal benefit of immigration. So if you look at overall, they've hidden it again from their study, but overall they've found that all migrants between the years 95 and 2011 were a net cost of over £100 billion. They've then cherry-picked it and said, but actually, we guys that have come here in the last 10 years from the EU are paying slightly more than they take out. And part of that is because they're younger adults. But what's going to happen in a few years' time when they have more children, when they get older, they're going to be like everyone else, and they're going to start costing money rather than contributing.
So you believe that they've manipulated the figures to suggest that migration is economically beneficial to this country?
No, they're not manipulated is too strong a word. I mean, they're serious academics and they've published it in a serious paper. What they have done is that the press people have cherry-picked their results for the headlines. Overall, Britain runs a deficit every year, and migrants have contributed to that deficit. But guys from Eastern Europe, it's a bit more hit and miss. It's probably about even. They, you know, take out about as much as they put in. But they're young adults working. In a few years' time, they'll have children that will cost to educate it. They'll get older, and they'll take out more health and pension costs.
Well,
it's not a justification for migration. A justification can be that employers need to hire people. But in terms of looking at taxes and revenue, it's not the way to go.
Let me bring in Professor Christian Dustman.
Sure.
Who co-authored the report that we're discussing today. Good morning to you.
Yes, good morning.
You just respond to that point that Matt has made, that ultimately you've cherry-picked the figures in order to kind of suggest that we're much better off financially because of the number of EU migrants we have?
Well, I think that's a ridiculous point. We wrote this report. It's an academic paper which is published now in a peer-reviewed journal. So why should we cherry-pick something out of a piece of work we have assembled ourselves? If we would want to cherry-pick something, we wouldn't even put it in the first place. So we try to write a report which is as complete as possible, assessing the fiscal situation of the UK if it comes to immigration. And let me repeat our findings. What we find is that immigrants who came to this country after 2000, and these are the immigrant populations we are talking about in the public debate today, and Migration Watch is talking about, that those immigrant populations have made a net fiscal contribution to the UK fiscal coffers over the period between 2000 and 2011. That's not just the case for European migrants coming from the old European countries, but also for European migrants coming from the Central and Eastern European countries that joined the European Union after 2004.
Matt?
Yeah, hello. So all this means is that the guys that have come recently are more likely to be younger and of working age, and they're not receiving old age pensions. So in a few years' time, that more of them are going to have families, and more of them are going to get older and use the health service more and take pensions, and then it's going to flip from being, well, we dispute the figures, but it's going to flip from being perhaps a slight positive to a negative, like all the other migrants.
Oh, so you do accept that it is a slight positive at the moment?
It depends what figures you use. So one of the things that Professor Dustman hasn't done yet is he hasn't adjusted how much benefits everyone gets compared to their salary. So a lot of Eastern Europeans, they come here, they have very high levels of economic participation, so they work. but they work for very low wages, and as a result you get topped up with tax credits and housing benefits, and that amount of tax credit hasn't been adjusted to take account of a low salary.
So, and that was a point that my caller Callin made a little earlier, Professor Dustman, that actually many European workers are getting extra benefits on top of what they're earning. Do you accept that, and have you taken that into account with the figures?
So, yeah, of course we have taken that into account. I mean, we are not a bunch of idiots. So if you want to engage with our report, Mr. Pollard, then please read our report.
No, absolutely. We have had a lovely night going through it, and I say you have taken into account the number of benefits being received, but not how much the benefit is. And we've got all our experts who are also very highly academically trained to go over it.
So then I invite Migration Watch to write a paper which has names on it, no anonymous reports which can't be, where nobody takes responsibility, and engage in publishing this paper in an academic journal.
Professor Dustman, last October, you published a report that you claimed was the definitive proof. You flourished it around all the media studios, claiming that this proved a fiscal benefit to migration. We wrote a very lengthy rebuttal, and then you've gone away.
Your quiet said,
I can't acknowledge Migration Watch, but actually you've taken into account most of our points, and now you've gone up. Well, late, this is your second stab at the...
Look, with all respect, that is ridiculous. You didn't write a reply. You wrote an anonymous piece, which was, frankly, it was ridiculous.
You've just ignored it. You spent a year ignoring it.
No, absolutely not. We have taken all the comments we received in that debate into account. They did not change our results. If you read our report, everything we have said about 1 year ago is still valid. We have nevertheless taken on board every constructive criticism, as we should do as academics, which we have received in this debate. And we invite you very much to engage on that.
Absolutely. Well, we have been engaged on it happily for the last year, and we'll engage on it again, don't worry.
You're publishing, you bring in this debate pieces which are inconsistent, which don't even have a name on it. So please,
what's his name? It's Matthew Pollard. What's your issue with his name? We published a very detailed report on this.
I didn't see a name on that report.
Well, you can phone us up, Dustman. You know our number. You phone us up any time you want, and we'll discuss it with you. You've been ignoring us for a year because you don't like our findings.
This is getting ridiculous.
Professor Dustman, can I just ask you to comment on one very interesting point that Matt Pollard made, and that's that at the moment we do have a lot of young immigrants who have come to this country from Europe, and at the moment, yes, many of those young immigrants are not costing the country a lot of money because they are of working age, they're young and they're fit and they're healthy. But actually, if we fast forward, the cost of their immigration to society when they become old, when they are paid their pension, when they start having to have hip operations and this, that and the next thing on the National Health Service, that's when the tables will be turned. Do you accept that?
Well, that depends. There are many aspects to that. So immigrants who come to this country are very highly skilled. We demonstrate that in our report. They are, on average, much higher skilled than natives. They start their career, their economic career, usually in jobs which are far below the level of education, and then they work themselves up. So the example is the Polish surgeon who doesn't speak very well English. He will start as a nurse, but then acquiring English, what we call complementary skills, to his surgeon skills, will work himself up the distribution. So we haven't seen these individuals, these immigrants who came since 2000. They are very young, but we haven't seen them yet at the peak of their economic career. So I would think that they will make even higher contributions in the near future. Then, of course, they may retire and draw on the system. So I think it's a little bit futile to speculate about the future, but there is not just one aspect about it. There are many aspects about it, and we should be very careful to make such predictions.
Can I just say, I would say the evidence, though, from your own paper, Professor, points to the other way, because you found that all migrants to the UK, so all migrants that were here between 1995 and 2011 were a net cost of over 100 billion. So that includes migrants that are young and old and retired and no longer working. So doesn't it suggest that when people do get older, they become a net fiscal cost? Because that's the evidence from the other migrant cohort.
You see, you should read our report very carefully. So immigrant populations whom we capture in that calculation between 1995 and the early 2000s are immigrant populations that are relatively old because they arrived at a very early stage in the UK. We haven't seen any immigration or large immigration between 85 and 95. So when we start looking at immigrants in 95, who have arrived much earlier, we miss out the productive part of their life and consider that part of their life, which is actually less productive, where they are not at the peak of their economic contribution anymore.
Let me put a question...
That's very clear in that report.
Let me put a question that I'd like both of you to answer. Most mainstream political parties are now telling voters that they will take a firmer stance on immigration. It would seem that politicians seem to think that this is what most of us care about. Do you think it would be sensible or foolish for my listeners to vote for a party that opposes Euro-immigration? Matt Pollard, first of all, to you.
Well, I think that membership of the European Union should be about much wider issues than immigration. Of course, immigration at the moment is dominating it, and it's down to individuals to whether they consider that more important than wider factors.
But do you believe that people should vote for a party that will oppose immigration from European countries?
No, I'm not going to say that, because it's not about just saying yes or no. It's this whole debate with Professor Dustman and others, it's about getting the balance right. It's about which migrants you want. Some of them are good benefit, others less so. So it's not a yes or no answer, I'm afraid.
Well, you say that, but if you look at the kind of... the political conversations that are going on between this country and, for example, the German Chancellor Angela Merkel, the Prime Minister of this country has said that he wants to put some kind of limit on the number of people who are able to move from European countries into the UK. Angela Merkel has said absolutely not. The free movement of people is a fundamental part of the European Union, and we have to allow that. Now, based on what Professor Christian Dustman is saying, it would appear that we don't have any worries financially about the movement of people from European countries. The ultimate gain to this country is greater than the loss.
Well, it's all about scale. So what the Prime Minister is talking about is not stopping migration from the European Union. It's about somehow controlling it. So maybe controlling the numbers through issuing of work permits and things like that. It's going to be very hard to do. Getting the politics, you're absolutely right. It's a fundamental part of the European Union free movement. So I don't know, but based on
what Professor Christian Dustman is saying, and if he is indeed right and if your concerns are wrong, then if we do start limiting the movement, or if indeed we do withdraw from the European Union and we no longer have the number of people wanting to come to this country and work in this country, then financially we're going to lose out, aren't we?
It's all about scale. So one of the aspects is congestion, and you know, if the population is growing much faster than we can, for example, build houses for them, that adds to all the problems. So it's not about whether migration is a fiscal benefit or not. It's about the scale of migration and whether we can manage it.
Professor Dustman, do you think people would be foolish to vote for a political party that wants to limit the number of Europeans that can move to this country?
Well, I don't want to comment on that. People vote according to their perceptions and their beliefs. The only thing I can say, we have worked on this particular aspect of the net fiscal benefit of immigration. There I can say that the concerns that on average immigrants from Europe have been a drag on the fiscal system in the UK are not confirmed in the work and in the data we have studied.
So when the Prime Minister talks about limiting the number of people that can come, stopping the free movement of Europeans, from a financial point of view, that's a foolish argument to make?
I wouldn't say it's a foolish argument, but I don't think it's an argument which stands up in the data.
OK, thank you very much indeed. Matt Pollard, who's from Migration Watch, and Professor Christian Dustman, who is one of the co-authors of this study today.